Hey, pal. Sorry about that.
Hey, no worries. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you good. Can you? How about me?
Beautiful. Let me.
Sweet.
I'm just gonna add Keith and then hopefully Danny. But if not, no worries. Keith.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Keith.
Is there, oh, Mike's on there too. Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Are we waiting for Danny?
Yeah, Danny's said it's crazy at work, so we can just run it.
Okay. Welcome back to It's All Bad. My name's Keith.
My name's Mike.
We have Susanna on this week, who's a legendary Hollywood fixture. She's born and raised in Hollywood.
Yeah, AIDS kid, like your boy.
Less than attractive cocaine addiction in the 80s and 90s. We have new merch up. Hit our link on the fucking Instagram. Buy a couple of t-shirts. Help support the cause. Sign up on our Patreon, and we have secret stories on there. Break bread with your people.
Yeah. Break bread with your people is right, especially during this crazy time. I know everybody's gearing, kind of hunkering down during these crazy new numbers and everything else, so tune in and listen to a bunch of maniacs make bad decisions, and you stay home and make good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, I love Susanna, man. She was rad and made me feel like, God, I wish
that I'd met someone, met someone like her in the 80s to party with. But she seemed like a really cool gal.
Yeah, she's a fucking savage.
Yeah, no doubt.
She's great.
How do you know her, Keith?
But, huh?
How do you know her?
Oh, I know her from I know her from work. She works at RSA.
From the production world.
That's yeah. Dude, and she has been bout about it. Like worked with legends at the time they were at the peak of their legend status. Fucking and we get into some of it, but man, just like her Tony Scott and all those dudes. And just how much it was really nice to hear. I don't know. It felt very refreshing to hear how much love it seemed like was going around in that office and how much fun people were having back in the day. You know, I mean, sure, you know, there's consequences to that kind of fun and all that shit, but it definitely made me feel like, wow, once again, I got into show business at the wrong time. Wasn't quite old enough yet to really roll like she was rolling then. But man, what a scene to be coming up around all that is pretty fucking impressive. And to make it out the other side. And to make it out the other side. The sobriety is incredible. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, man.
Cool. All right. Let's jump in.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Give me one quick second. All right, I'm waiting for my coffee to brew.
Of course you are.
Yep.
Said
I
Mike
woke up
weed,
from a nap.
Mike's weed delivery guy will show up in 20 minutes.
He's coming right now. He's coming right over. I'm going to have him right on the show. Just be like, hey, how you guys doing? This is Joey.
Yeah. Our guest. Yeah, our guest today is Joey. My weed delivery man.
Are you getting that dime bag that's actually really a $10 bag of oregano, which you used to get down by Good Samaritan?
Oh. Fifth and Hoover?
Just anybody remember?
Oh, yes. Wait, did you say Good Samaritan?
Yeah.
Hospital, yes.
Down by Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
You drive down the street, and they'd come out, and you'd get your bag, and it was always oregano.
Where at? What street?
Sorry. This is back in the 80s.
Wow, yeah.
There it is.
I know, I mean, that area had, that was that, all the way from basically around there, MacArthur Park, the way over to 5th and Hoover, 9th, Hoover and 9th, that whole area, I used to be driving around there all the fucking time, just buying $5 worth of weed at a shop.
Yeah.
Of just the worst weed you've ever had, just absolute crap.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you get like a semi-decent bag, and I'd be so fucking over the moon. I'd be like, yeah, this is great. And the thing was, is like, at that time, it was the height of pot in LA, like to date. It was the height, not like it is now, legal and whatever, but like right. It's not massive, like everybody's just walking around smoking weed. But
no.
But it was the first time, it was the Chronic and the Kind and all that, whatever the fucking dumb and names the they had. And the Thai stick, all that shit. Like you could get great weed in LA, yeah. But not me. Because yeah. When you're broke and you jump yeah. in your Ford Escort and you go down to Hoover and Ninth for $5, you get what you get.
Yeah.
You get what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
In Covina, we would buy it through a drive-through 7-Eleven. But it was all like you would drive through the parking lot of 7-Eleven. There was stoners just playing hacky sack.
Wow.
But and then in El Monte on Maxson Street, you could drive through the park and buy it from the Cholos. And this skinhead and his wife were driving through there. They had their kid in the car seat in the back in like a green Toyota Celica. And they grabbed the weed from the Cholo and then tried to take off with the money. And the Cholo jumped on top of the car and was literally trying to, on the sunroof, trying to pull the kid out of the sunroof.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They're driving away like stunt people. That's a dark story.
No, it's amazing. I think I've told it before. It's like, I wasn't waiting for to start it. I went one day and I was just a little like just keyed up and I don't know, whatever, just shit wasn't going my way. And I was like trying to get weed and I got some and this kid just totally ripped me off. It was, you know, usually you'd get handed a piece of newspaper and in that would be the dirt weed, you know, it'd just be a crumpled up piece of paper. And you'd see the kids would go to buy the, they'd have the weed like in near, like on the street, near the curb, like it'd be like some shit under looked like garbage and there'd be some weed, you know, and they'd go in underneath that, get the weed, wrap it up in a piece of paper and throw it basically at you. And one day I, you know, there was nothing in it. And I was just like, fuck this. No way. I'm Chuck Norris or what, or not, what's his name? The other guy, Charles Bronson, you know, it's urban justice. And I started going around and I was like looking for this kid, you know, and he was, of course, some 12-year-old kid. I'm like, oh, come on, he's a kid. And then it just like, I just had to like wait at a light and it took about a minute. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, you just lost $5. What you're doing right now will end you at the very least in the hospital. This is a bad idea. Like that kid did not start a he's not part of a gang of 12-year-olds or 10-year-olds. God. His uncles and brothers and father are going to come out and beat you to death. So just go home, you dumb fuck. And I just was like, whew, close call. Like,
Jesus. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready? Welcome back to It's All Bad. My name's Keith.
This is Mike.
I'm Russian Danny. And our guest tonight, today, whatever it is, is
Susanna.
Oh, yeah. Susanna, don't you cry for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, I've been talking to Susanna about doing it for about a year.
Huh?
I've been talking to you about doing it for like a year.
I know. And then all of a sudden, I got a text the other night, yo, podcast? And I'm like, fuck, sure. First, I thought it was a booty call. And then I thought, fuck.
Wait, have you ever partied in Hollywood, Susanna?
Honey, you have no idea. Listen, I grew up in Hollywood. And I, ready? Firefly.
Yeah. Oh, Firefly. Shit.
Do you guys remember the Firefly at all?
I do.
I've never been, but I heard of it.
Dude, Firefly was this bar that was it was down the street from Capitol Records. And I worked at this Chinese restaurant up on Sunset Strip called Chin Chin.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, Chin Chin.
Yeah, like the famous Chin Chin. Yeah.
You know, it was really big in the 80s. And so I worked there in the 80s.
Chin Chin and Genghis Cohen.
It was famous for its Chinese chicken salad. And so in the 80s, that's when, you know, Madonna and Bruce Springsteen and Sean Penn and like Motley Crue and like Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols and all these cool ass people would come in. And that was the day when the Coke was good. And so also go into the huge walk-in closet and do some limes, drink and guzzle some beer, guzzle some sake, maybe do a little like sex act, and then go and wait tables. I don't remember a fucking thing about the 80s, but I got to tell you, I know that I had a good time. So we would hang out there and things would close early. So we would get hammered and then go to the Frolic Room in Hollywood.
Love the Frolic Room.
Love
the Frolic. Or the Firefly, which had probably one of the greatest old jukebox ever, like Patsy Cline and Frank Sinatra and stuff, you know, and party there. And God, what else was out there? Frolic, the Cat and the Fiddle was still there.
Peanuts.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Remember Peanuts was like a rock and roll club on Wednesday and Thursdays? It was like Bordello on one night. And
was Peanuts over on, was Peanuts on Crescent Heights and on Sunset Boulevard where, what was the Euro Trash place called? Oh my God, ready? Coconut Teaser.
Oh, I love Coconut Teaser.
Dude.
But that was the Euro Trash area.
Right.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Where was Peanuts?
Peanuts was on Santa Monica. And do you know where it is, Danny? It's still there. But it was it was a gay bar. But then two nights a week, it was Bordello on Wednesday nights. And it was English Acid on Thursdays. That was about 88 to 90.
Ugh. Oh, that's straight. Listen to that Wolfgang Press and whatnot.
What was that place on Highland?
On where?
On Highland.
Highland.
It was called Ice. But do you remember Powerhouse and Vertigo?
Yeah.
Powerhouse. Powerhouse is still there.
Wow. Powerhouse.
Yeah, Powerhouse.
Okay, don't remember going there, but I know I was there.
I got I got a really quick little Powerhouse story for you guys.
Really?
You brought it up.
Right.
So I worked one of my first jobs I had. I don't know if I ever mentioned this on here or not. My first job I had, I sold puka shell necklaces and mood rings. Yeah. At Universal City Walk at one of the little carts. And then there was also a cart at Hollywood and Highland, like right when the mall opened, you know? And I'm a little younger. I don't know if you noticed or not, you know. But whatever, you know. But so we would go and like you would get to know the characters, like the Hollywood Boulevard characters, you know, like the fucking superhero Superman that had that great fucking documentary about him, Tragedy, you know, and then and there was this one dude and he was little Mr. T. You know, and he was always out there and he was a little Mr. T, you know, like a little dude that was Mr. T, you know, and he was always my favorite. So I had this game where it's funny because I helped get this friend into rehab a little while ago. And we were talking about like how insane it was where like we were doing a lot of coke, you know, like that's when it was like just fun. And we would just like go and get a bunch of blow. And we came up with this game where we had like a cool name for it, but we would basically like see who could do, like we would try to like one up each other on like who could do coke off of like whatever different thing, you know, like we did the record, like where, you know, we did a line on a record and then turned it on and then snorted it as the record went around, you know. We did like we did a cop car at a music festival once at Coachella, not realizing that there was fucking cops inside of the cop car while we did lines of cocaine off of it. Did not get arrested. I mean, it was just like insane. One time we were at this club, Club Ronda, which is like a pretty big like gay club now that still like moves around. But it was its first night and the fire marshals came and shut it down. And we were sitting there and they like shut down the upstairs area. And so they were like, everybody stay quiet because they were like moving everybody out of the downstairs. But they still try to keep the upstairs open, but they like music off. And we were basically trapped in this like upstairs of this like weird Mexican nightclub for maybe like it seemed like fucking 6 hours. It was probably like 30 minutes, you know, but people were like passing out because it was so hot up there. And like there wasn't, you know, the bars closed and everyone, and there's a girl that's passed out on the staircase, you know, like literally like passed out. And my friend comes up, my, you know, he taps me and he goes, watch this. And he literally puts out a bump of coke on her shoulder and does it off of this passed out girl on the staircase. You know? I think that was where you took the cake, you know. But we're at Powerhouse one night and we're drinking. And they used to have that cool little smoking area where, you know, you would get your drinks and you would go out back. And it was just kind of like the fucking Wild West. Like there's people boning in one corner and like shooting up. Like it was like anything goes, you know.
Yeah.
And little Mr. T's there and he's having a drink. And I look at fucking my buddy, you know, I'm not, I'm trying really hard to not mention his name. And I go, hey, how much would you give me if I could do a fucking, if I could do a line of coke off of little Mr. T's head, you know? And he goes, motherfucker, I'll give you $100 right now, you know? So I come up to the little Mr. T and I go, hey, I'll give you $50 if you let me do a fucking line of coke off your head, you know? And he goes, where's the fifth? Show me the money, motherfucker, you know? So I give him the $50 and literally he has this fucking little mohawk and he's tiny. He was like down to here to me, you know? And I put out a fucking line and I do a bump of like a line of coke off of little Mr. T's head at Powerhouse. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've had coke done off my head.
Have you?
One time. Yeah. Outside. Remember on Sunset, I think it's Umami Burger now, but it used to be that steak place called the Hilltop or the Hill something, Hilltop Steak. It was like a, it was like they had some hipster, we used to call it the hipster steak place, you know? You'd go in and you'd have to eat steak in some unconventional, like share big table with somebody or whatever the fuck they were doing. But anyway, a buddy of mine had his bachelor party there, and that night, I was out front, and there's actually a photograph of my friend just taking a line off. And I got to tell you, with the way my head looked that night, I wouldn't have fucking done a line off that my, like, just sweaty, sweaty pink model dome. Just like, yeah, no, dude. It's like, yeah, why don't you just have a put a cocktail shrimp on there and have one of those, too. Nasty. But they did. They insisted, and they did.
And that was the cure for COVID.
I used to hang out at Barney's Beanery because I lived in West Hollywood, and to be able to walk down there, and I don't know, I would do lines in the corner of the bar where the, you know, they had a bitchin' jukebox, so I'd have to stay there all night because I'd put like $500 of fucking quarters in to hear every goddamn song. And I would never leave until I would like hear my last song. But by that time, I was so coked up and so drunk because I was boning the bartender. So I'd get my free drinks on top of doing my blow in the corner. And I, you know, God, how did that happen?
Wait.
You know, it's so weird, you know. I'm coming up on 15 years sober in November, and the weird thing is I got arrested a bunch of times. Yes, I've been in rehab twice, and yes, I did go to Sybil Brand, which is closed, and I don't look good in orange. I'm just telling you guys right now. I kind of think like how like. You know, this COVID thing, being stuck in my house for, we're on like 100 and something days right now. This would be like the perfect time to just party my fucking ass off. I mean, like, this is probably like, and we have to do those Zoom AA meetings and it's weird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this fucking story, but where this story is that, I guess I'm glad I'm not loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad because this is one of those times where, you know, as being in recovery, you know, this is when you have that dirty thinking, you know, that stinking thinking. And, you know, God, what could I do in my life now? Or what, you know, this isn't going to happen for me or whatever, you know, and, you know, it's fucking scary. These are scary fucking times.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I remember when my career went from going really well to down the toilet inside of a year. And that was around 2011. Yeah. I had the best year of my career in 2010 to date, and 2011 was one of the worst I've had since I've lived in Los Angeles. And the first year I lived in Los Angeles, I made $6,500. You don't even have to claim taxes if you make $6,500. They don't even make you. They're like, please, just fucking keep it to yourself, buddy. Get a job, you know? And so, like, I had had this brutal fucking year, and I remember being, like, it was in my 40s, and I was like, this is fucked. How am I going to reinvent myself? How is this going to come around? Like, this business is dead. The fuck was I thinking? Why did I get in the advertising? This is crazy. Like, at that moment, like, acting seemed like a better choice, you know? Like, it was just insane. And I was like, you know, I can do this. Like, this... I don't know. It's tricky. It gets weird. I'm on a solo mission as well. Are you solo at home?
Yes, I am.
And Charlie's solo, right?
Sort of. A family nearby.
Family nearby. Right. Family nearby. Yeah. Keith has family. Danny has. You've got
Uncle Vic. I got Uncle Vic. Yeah, he just got home.
Thank God, you know, dude.
But you, you have uncle.
I have friend's uncle. Yeah.
It's our friend's uncle who's you would love. He's bananas.
He's amazing. I love him.
It's hard. I mean, you know, the cool thing is I've got my family nearby in Woodland Hills, and
that's good.
Yeah. But you know, this whole thing happened right in right in a peak of. I mean, I'm going to be 56 in January, for fuck's sake. And I was literally in the middle of this whole move, changing life thing, where I was going on vacation. I was going to Costa Rica, and then I was going to go back east. And I was seriously going to literally give notice in May and then move back east.
Oh.
And this all fucking happened right in the middle of my massive plan of conquering the world in my 50s, you know, because I don't remember my 20s. I don't remember my 30s. I got sober in my 40s. And, I had a little, relationship fucked up shit. And now I'm kind of thinking, now I can go and move on and do this. And
it's a rebirth time. It feels like that. Like I never felt that. I never felt that when I turned 40. 40 felt like to me, like, all right, whatever. I'm fucking Don Draper's age. I'm not old yet. You know what I mean? I don't care. Like I'm not it didn't hit me like that. It was just like, you're all right. Stay on target. This definitely hit me that way. And this lockdown definitely gives me pause, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm staying hopeful. Like, I have to be careful. I'm not sober, you know, like you guys. So I got to be careful because the last thing you want to do is just be poisoning yourself, you know, alone in an apartment. Yeah. Like, fortunately, drinking is not as fun alone for me. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much fun you can have having cocktails and watching television. You know, Zoom,
porn, and you're ready to go. I'm telling you.
Oh no! I can't do that. I have a heart attack. We're not allowed any of that. Those days are gone. No. I talked to my doctor once and asked him. I said, basically, are we past the coke years? Is that it? Are we done? And he's like, well, yeah, we're done. You're done.
Yeah.
You're dumb. I was like, okay, cool. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. Hey, Susanna, what's the longest you've ever stayed awake on cocaine or speed or anything?
Oh my God. Probably a good fucking, a good week and a half.
Wow. Can you tell us about it?
You know what? A good week and a half. It would start out. I'll tell you what. Ready? It would start out with, There are these great bars on the west side, in West LA that used to be there. The Gaslight is still there. Boom. And then next to the Gaslight, on Wilshire Boulevard, it was a Mexican place. And so we started there with the margaritas. And I would go there with my girlfriends who were not as wild. Like, mm-hmm. I would have to hide and smoke and stuff. I had an older sister who turned me on to partying. There you go. You know, I went to a college where it was, you know, I lived with like a dealer, and it just took off from there, you know, and that's when everything was so pure and good. And you'd like even, you'd even like say that, you know, you'd even start saying co and you'd get diarrhea wide array, you know, you'd get you know, that just like, I know what this is going to taste like, you know?
Yeah.
But you'd start there, you'd start on the west side, and then you'd hook up with the people that were also doing the blow. You know, you'd know the ones that were coming out of the bathrooms and that they were going in and out really quick. And then you would end up back at somebody's house, stay up all night, and then that's when you make those plans.
Mm.
You know, remember, you know how you'd like come, you'd get in those conversations of, well, if this could happen, the world would be so much better, or anything like that. You know what? We're going to drive to Vegas, and that's how it's going to, that's how we're going to become rich. And that's when you're up all night, and then you decide to get in your car. And that's when you have to get another shitload so that you don't run out when you get to Vegas, because you don't know anybody there.
Right.
But you're going to meet people there. So you're going to be okay. But as long as I have enough to carry me over, and that would last, that lasted for really, I did that a lot. I did that a lot. You know, in hotel rooms, and I'd have to see if my clothes were there or like who's next to me, you know, one thing I don't miss, but I mean, I don't wake up with anybody next to me, but it, you know, at the same time, it's like those days of full-blown debauchery. I mean, you know, those were the days when nobody protected themselves.
Yeah.
You know, sex-wise, I mean, what the fuck was a rubber? You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I just I knew what a straw was and where it should go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, and then driving on it. Oh my God, the times that I drive on it and have it in my car. And I'd have I had a station wagon, and it was a blue station wagon. It was bitchin'. And it had like, you know, the way that it would, the back would go down is you, a key, who has a key for their car anymore anyway? You do a key and the back would go down and all that kind of stuff. And we just, pile people in and be doing blow in the car and just, oh God, it's like, it just gives me such a headache now. I have no, I don't know how I did not die. Mm. Getting up and driving up to Mammoth, you know? Yeah, you know?
Have you ever?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Have you ever woken up in a place and you don't know how you got there?
Yeah, a bazillion times. When I went to school, I went to University of Arizona, and it was like the biggest party school. It was the drinking age was 18, and my female dorm, there was a drive-in liquor store right across the street, so you could go in your nightgowns and drive through and get your shit at the liquor store. And at that time, I didn't know anything. I mean, growing up where I grew up, it was like kegs in the backyard and like weed, you know, and bongs. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't do a lot of like coke and shrooming and shit until I got to college, where it was so great to take shrooms at football games, you know, and talk about why the fuck are hot dogs so awesome at football games, and what's the difference between a hot dog here, hot dog at Dodger Stadium. I mean, you get into these like philosophical. There's one time I used to party up at the below the Hollywood sign. There's this field, and back then in the 80s, when did I graduate? I graduated high school in 83. So we would go up to the Hollywood sign, and under it there was you'd bring beer and you'd party and you'd shroom, and they had those like full blown, like, I don't know if you guys remember the copper tone trash cans that they had that they would have on the beaches. Well, they had those up at the field, and I would get in these philosophical conversations while I was shrooming with the copper tone trash can. Like, you are doing so much for the environment, and I'm so glad you're here because there are beer bottles all over the place, and people are screwing in dishes and throwing away all their shit, and, you know, you're saving the environment. And you know, that's how it would be. That's how it would be.
Have you ever had a bad trip?
I had, oh my God, ready? Okay, so my bad trip, I decided to take ecstasy. Let alone, I took ecstasy with one of my friends, one of my best friends at the time, who also worked at Chin Chin, who was this awesome gay dancer. He was a gay man, and him and I were really bored, and we both decided to take ecstasy at his sister's apartment. And all I remember is I took a tab, and I got horny as fuck, but I couldn't fuck anybody because my friend was gay. And so all I was get in bed, and all I remember from that was that there was a mustard color, hideous blanket. And I'm like, Steven, I'm getting in bed, and I'm wishing this away because I want to fuck you, but you're gay, so we can't fuck. And I got in bed, and I just, like, totally had to, like, think of wishing the shit out of me so that I wouldn't attack my friend who was gay. Listen, I got to tell you, I mean, like, there's some things that I'd wake up and it was those times when you'd party so hard that you'd wake up and look and see where your car was, or you would look and see, this was a good thing for me, is I was a huge whore in the 80s, and I would not know who was in my body. And so whenever I'd wake up in the morning or come to in the morning, I would have to check and see what the name on their mail was so I can remember who the fuck I fucked. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know who was there. No idea. I had
it's
to
a
do
magical mail. Time in the 80s. It was a magical
It was
time.
Mail check in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it got too weird. And I had to stay, like how you were saying, Mark, staying in your apartment, it's like I had to hide because it wasn't worth it for me anymore, because I'd get those, and I didn't like those phone calls in the morning of, oh my God, do you know what you did last night? Do you know what you did on the dance floor? Do you remember, you know, sucking this guy's cock like in the middle of the bar? No. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm gross. I'm a pig. But that's what would happen to me all the time. That's where my mind would go. You know, I did get arrested a bunch of times, and it was a long time ago where you know.
Did you ever get arrested for?
For blowing? No, it was okay. I never got. No,
if any cop who stops a woman from blowing a man in a bar,
have
his fucking badge taken away.
No. I did it behind the alleys at the.
That's what I'm saying right now. That's not law and order.
Firefly, honey. You What's would that? See it in the alleys behind the alley at the Firefly, which is where they would light the bar on fire. But once in a blue moon, they'd take that.
Or
you know,
Bacardi.
That lighter stuff.
Oh, that lighter, oh, oh.
And they'd light it, and then they'd light it on fire. Every other couple times they do it. It was really fucking odd. But they got. You know, they got shut down. But anyway, I got arrested a bunch of times and it didn't do me any good. You know, I don't remember my 80s very well. I had a bunch of family died in the 80s. And so I just kind of used my thing to numb. Mm. And I'll tell you, nothing scared me straight into getting sober. Until at the end of it, I was doing a lot of cocaine by myself in my apartment. I lived in this apartment on Harper in West Hollywood, and I quit my job and I decided to take a year off for me. Yay. Oh my God. Yay. I'm going to go travel and I'm going to do all this fun things for, you know, Susanna. And yeah, you know what I did? I stayed in my apartment. I drank vodka and did lines and I watched porn. That's what I did for a fucking year. And so talk about fucking losing.
Brad.
Right.
So no, I mean, yeah, no, I'm, it's,
you know,
yeah.
And then it, the morning you have to turn it down and stuff because you didn't want your neighbor to think that you were fucked up or you were phoning or anything, you know. That's when they didn't have, you know, you didn't have the internet or anything, and that's when you had to call people to come over. And I don't listen, it was horrible. And I, to this day, I still can't watch porn, so I'll just let you know that.
Really?
But, yeah, I can't. There was one night I was drinking my vodka and I was doing my eight ball, and I woke up in the morning and I couldn't breathe, and I was like, okay, I smoked way too many Virginia Slims, and I'm probably having an asthma attack. So, you know, I had my inhaler and nothing was working, and all I remember was crawling into my living room and calling 911. And as it turned out, I seizured. And I fell into a coma.
Fuck.
And so they took me to Cedar Sinai, and in the mornings back then, there were three people that I would talk to every single morning, and I didn't talk to them that morning because I was in the hospital and I was you know, tubed up and everything, and they were looking, this is what I heard, is they were looking for me, okay? And one of my friends who is a hair and makeup stylist, he lived around the corner from me, and he was my best friend, and we would go, you know, we would get totally coked up and hammered and go to all the gay bars on Santa Monica and just have the best time, he came to my apartment, and my TV was blasting. But my car was in my garage. And so what he thought was, oh, she's got a guy over, so I'm not going to bother her. But he decided to knock on my door and nobody answered. And he had the key and he went in, and I wasn't there. And so what happened was he had taken me to Cedar Sinai before for an asthma attack, and he decided to call down there. So he called Cedar Sinai, and they said that they did have a Jane Doe that was in a coma, and that she had a really good manicure pedicure, which, by the way, I like to do every 2 weeks. So I always have lovely hands and lovely toes. Okay. I that is something I do, and I spend my money on it, and I'm goddamn proud of it. So he said, oh my God, that's my friend. And he went to Cedar Sinai and they wouldn't let him in. And my ER doctor came out to talk to my friend. It turned out that my ER doctor had met my friend at the Foo Bar, which is a club on Santa Monica Boulevard. He had met my friend at the Big Dick Contest, and they had exchanged phone numbers. And from then on, cock is my friend. I got taken care of because my friend met my ER doctor at the Foo Bar, and I was taken care of, and they let him in, and I was in Cedar Sinai for a whole week, and then I woke up and I went into rehab, and that scared me straight. So that was it for me. Yeah.
Can you tell us the story about you when you worked at Chin Chin, you know, when you slipped on something?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Keith. So back in the day, this is when I was drinking. Back in the day, Chin Chin, which I told you was like totally hot restaurant, and it was small and it was just so fucking bitching and rad. And so every Friday night, my sister and I waited tables, and the girls wore short jean skirts and shirts and tennis shoes. And there were these huge tile slippery floors. And so, I mean, you would sneeze and you would slip on your boogers and you would fall. I mean, it was just this horrible, horrible floors. So one night we're waiting tables, and I was working on the inside. And so I have to do my little walking thing, because this is me. So Friday night, totally packed. This is when you make a lot of money. And I'm walking over to a table in the corner. And I've got a thing of Szechuan dumplings, which is steamed chicken dumplings with some slimy Szechuan sauce on it. So I'm walking over to the table in the corner, and one of the dumplings falls off. I slip, beef shot. That's the beef shot. Land on my ass and fart as loud as I fucking
can. That's amazing.
This fucking people heard me. I was mortified. I ran downstairs. I locked myself in the manager's office for 2 hours, and I wouldn't go back up and wait tables for 2 weeks because I knew that everybody in the entire world saw my beep and heard me fart.
Dude, that's amazing.
Most embarrassing story ever.
That's the 80s, right?
Honey, that was 85.
Dude, of course it had that. What was it? Did it have like a black? Because I haven't been to Chin Chin in so many fucking years. It's been since the early 90s.
Yeah.
But did it have like a black and white tile-ish kind of floor?
No, it was big white tile that got
big
dirty.
White tiles.
It was horrible. I mean, it was.
Of course. And everybody wore like white, right Reeboks probably or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much, high tops. But I slipped and I showed my beeve. Back in the day, they were puffy and hairy. And fell, floated, and farted.
That's amazing. I love that story.
That was me. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, those are the good old days.
Did you ever smoke PCP or angel dust?
I never did. I was always scared of stuff like that. I think the only thing I ever did was shrooms. And I loved shrooms. I thought shrooms were the greatest high except the taste. I hated the taste.
Yeah.
But I loved cocaine. I loved cocaine. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Because I like to drink. And when I would drink and then I would get, that's when I'd get that blackout phase. And that's when I'd start doing the blow so that I could keep drinking. And I'd remember. But then the whole come down, that whole come down shit.
It's awful.
It was horrible. You check your nails and see if you ate like a burrito supreme at 2 a.m, you know. What was in your car or like, you know what I was good at? I was good at putting everybody's drinks on my credit card and then walking out and not signing the check.
Oh, nice.
And then it was not the walk of shame in the morning. It was the having to call the bar and say, hey, do you guys have my credit card there? I walked out and forgot to sign it.
Let me leave.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Done that countless times.
Countless times I did that. That's a big thing for me.
What did you get arrested for, Susanna?
I got arrested for DUIs.
Oh, okay.
But it was when they were, I can get them reduced to wet recklesses.
Yeah.
But there was one time, you know, my first DUI was when I was 17 and I was at a party in Bel Air. And I was driving home from the party and I hit something. And my car was totally trashed and I have no idea what I hit. And I ended up in the Beverly Hills jail and my parents wouldn't come and get me. And then the other times were DUIs in the valley, like around like Lancashire, right by Universal Studios and stuff. But there's one time that I got thrown in jail and it was Sybil Brand. And God damn it. That was horrifying. And you'd think that that would have hit my bottom, that hitting my bottom would have been in jail. I was in Sybil Brand for 5 days. And it was because they didn't have my records of me going to a 90-day rehab in 87. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have that record of me. And they thought I had totally bailed on it. But I had totally did the time. I had totally done all of my, you know, what's that stuff you have to do when you're, your
Version.
Community service and everything.
Yeah.
You do like all those hours of community service and all that kind of shit. And I did the freeway thing. I don't even know if they do that anymore. Did you guys ever do the freeway shit? Cleaning up the freeway?
Yeah, no. Caltrans.
Yeah.
Caltrans, thank you.
Yeah. Caltrans. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yep.
I don't even know if they do that anymore. Do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I hated that. So.
Oh, the worst.
I had to do that, and the courts didn't have it in my file. So they stuck me in jail and I got stuck in jail and they gave me the, you know how you're in jail, you know how you're in jail and you're waiting to get processed.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like missing a shoe and like a sweater and I mean, it's like I don't know where the fuck I was. I had a habit of losing clothes left and right. You know what I mean? When I was loaded, and I you're in that holding tank with all these other people, and you're kind of thinking, oh my god, I'm kind of like the only normal one looking here, and so they're gonna release me, but they never did, and they kept me in there for 5 days, and I kept waiting. You know, you're in your bunk bed, and they give you that little bitty thing of soap and a toothbrush. And, you know, I mean, I was scared to like go into the bathroom. I was scared to shit, pee, whatever. I didn't do, I stayed in that bunk for like 5 days. I would not move. And I wouldn't even go to chow hall to eat. You know, it was just horrifying. That's a horrifying experience.
The women's jail is supposed to be way more terrifying than the men's, they say.
Oh my God. Women's jail was so, you know, and Sybil Brand's not even there anymore.
But right.
Was, you know, it was scary, you know, it was scary. And I, you know, I mean, I came from a nice family, and I, you know, I grew up in Hancock Park, and I went to a private girls' school, and it was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? What am I doing in here? You know, it was terrifying to me, but you know what? It didn't scare me straight.
Yeah.
You know? And, it was expensive and it sucked. And it was terrifying. You know, I didn't talk to my family for a long time. I mean, it's just stupid shit. And then having to like, just kind of, God, you look back on it and you're kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that was me. Because then, you know, when you go to meetings and you hear things of like these young kids that have also gone through that and, or killed somebody or,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I've got a lot of friends that like, you know, have, I don't know. It's like, it's, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's pretty fucking gnarly. But anyway, I finally got, you know, sober and dealt with everything. It took me a long time though. It took me I had a lot of research to do. I just like to do vodka.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes, I have.
Oh
yeah. Why? Have you?
No, but let's hear about it.
Are you guys talking about that on Gilbert's thing?
Yeah,
we always it's one of our favorites. Yeah,
talking about something. Okay, so listen to this. So this was right when I got out of my first rehab, and I went to Acton for 90 days. I was court sent, and Acton's in the middle of butt fucking Egypt, in like out like Palmdale, you know, and it's a county facility, and I was sent there for 90 days, and it was during the summer. And the summers out there, it's about 175 million degrees, and it's horrible. But it's camp, and you know, you're there with a lot of heroin addicts and all that kind of stuff, and you know, a lot of bush patrol and all that kind of stuff. But it was cool for the time. Do you know what I mean? But I came home from that 90 days. And I rented this guest house where I was living, and I don't know if it was an outer body experience or if there was somebody in the corner, but I dozed off on my couch and I saw myself get out of my body. I came out of my body. And in the corner was my mom, who was a ghost. And she was a ghost, and she was in the corner, very, very transparent. Like all I saw was her, I saw her face, but it was like illuminated. It's like all that kind of shit that you'd see on like Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Was your mom living at the time?
She's been gone for like 35 years, so no. But this was in 87.
Whoa.
This was in 80. This happened in 1987, and she passed away in 86. So it was a year.
Wow. Passed,
right?
Oh, shit.
A year she had passed. And I went to rehab in 87. So yeah, that was my first rehab. So no. So she was dead. She was dead. And so she was in the corner. She was in the corner and she was floating. And my body was on the couch. but I had also come out of my body and was floating. And I went up to her and I gave her a hug and she shook her head. And then I got back into my body.
Fuck.
And that was it. And that was it. And that was it. And I kept thinking to myself, that was her to see if I was okay or checking on me, because I was the black sheep of the family, you know, everything went under the rug, nobody ever talked about alcoholism or fucked upness or anything, you know, where I grew up. It was like, you never said that. I mean, meetings or AA, it wasn't a big thing then, then it got trendy in like the 90s. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, we've been sober a long time, but it got trendy with all the rehabs and everything. But I think she was checking, before she died, I was at a really bad drinking phase, and my mom and dad were going to put me in rehab, but I don't know why they didn't. And the fact is that I was the only one living at home when my mom got cancer, besides my dad, and everybody else had moved out of the house, and I was the only one that could take her to her chemotherapy and everything. And I was the only one that learned how to put the morphine in. And I was the only one who helped out. I was so hungover and so coked up that entire time when I'd have to get up and drive her to Good Samaritan. I must have reeked. You know how when you're drinking, when you were drinking then, and you didn't think you reeked? You never thought that it came out of your pores. You just thought, oh my God, I'll just eat a lot of like gum or... It's so funny how, like, I it's like, that's what I did.
Your drink? What was your vodka?
I drank vodka. But,
Vodka's the final. Gin, ultimately, I think, is the final last chain. Like, if you're drinking gin like you drink vodka, the end is nigh. You know, at a certain point, you drink a third whiskey and you're like, I'm drinking gasoline. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. Jägermeister was good. That was good for me. But
that's bold shit, man. Jäger, I can do a few shit. That makes me want to puke up.
Jägermeister was my drink where I would go crazy. Barney's Beanery, do karaoke and wet t-shirt contest. And my song to me.
Def
Leppard, Pour Some Sugar in Me.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
So anyway, so, you're thinking that you're not smelling or anything.
Yes,
and
right.
I'm sorry, I'm going to be gross, but I probably fucked something and I probably had cum all over me. So I've got like the cocaine nose, the vodka, and the, sorry, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I just am delighted.
That's my
happy face, the smile face.
I'm HR's worst nightmare.
We don't have a department like that here, so it's all.
It's like no hold barred, and why? Come on.
Yeah.
We all talk dirty. We all say shit. I am never holding it back. I really think that was. That was her way of checking to see if I was okay, because it was a year and I had just gotten out of rehab and I was sober at that time for about 2 minutes. And then I had to go do more research, but I came close to heroin and all that kind of stuff. And I never did any of that stuff. I really didn't.
I didn't either.
I loved hash. I went to Amsterdam, and oh my God, could I have moved there and just like lived on a houseboat and smoked hash my entire life? I did that whole thing at age 21 where I needed to like find myself. It was right after my mom died, and I had worked at Chin for a whole year, Chin, and I decided to backpack through Europe, which, by the way, I don't fucking remember, but I decided to backpack through Europe during the summer, And I went, my first trip, my first thing was in Amsterdam, and I met a guy who lived in Venice Beach for 6 months out of the year. But for 6 months out of the year, he sold hash in Amsterdam. And he made a living of it. And then he can go back to California and live in Venice. But I'm, but that was in like 87. I'm sure it was real cheap then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, losing my passport and my shoes and being on a train I was on a train from London to Italy. I don't know. You know, you did the Europass thing back then, and I had like stinky fucking feet because I never showered and I was drunk the whole time. And all I remember was literally losing everything there. And on a ferry that you would take to, I ran out of money and I had to take a ferry from Italy to Greece. And I drank so much on that ferry that I passed out and I can't remember where I ended up.
Wow.
I'm in a foreign country and I didn't care. Right? Those are the days that you get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world was a lot kinder to that experience then than it would be now, for sure.
To that experience. The world
Now you'd be kidnapped and in the back of a van within fucking a half hour. Dude, on that boat, some fool would clock you and just some Mossad motherfucker. And the next thing you know, you're just in the trunk.
I'd be totally dead. I'd be totally dead.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, and it's just odd to think about, you know, it's so funny because, you know, a lot of people that I work with never knew that I had a problem. To this day, they were like, we didn't know you had a problem. We never knew you had a problem. And I'm like, because I, you know, you hide it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had
do
to
you
hide
feel it. Like, what do you feel like the business is now? Like, do you feel like the culture, what do you feel like the drug and booze culture is like in the business now compared to the way it was?
You know what? This is all I see is I see a lot of weed. I see a lot of weed and I see a lot of Xanax. And people still drink. You know, people still drink a lot, but the people that
A lot of wine. People love to say that. Oh, we'll get some wine. Let me just get three martinis before that, but I don't know, we're gonna have wine.
Know what? The people that I work with are 40 on up.
Yeah.
And married or whatever. Yeah. It's not like, you know, like when I was going out there, I was going out to have fun and get laid. That was it.
Yep.
I was going out there to have fun and get laid. That was it. But people nowadays, it's like they go to their dinners and they do this or they do this or, you know, when you're on location, I know that people get out of hand on location and stuff. I'll tell you what was odd is when I got sober, I moved with my ex-fiance. We lived in Valencia, and the program it's a small knit community out there. But what freaked me out is that the kids that were in high school out there, their big drug was heroin and pills. And I didn't grow up with any of that. In my day, I didn't grow up with any with pills or with heroin. And it was really, really odd. And I thought, don't people get loaded on like with bongs or like kegs anymore? And I was so fucking old school, you know, like Mad Magazine and all that kind of shit, you know. I didn't know any of this other stuff, you know? And now it's so advanced. And when I got out of rehab, I remember it was so odd because I started watching Intervention. And you guys know that show? And
I was the best.
Because I know Candy show. You know Candy Finnegan? She's totally bitching. And I know her. And so I started watching her show. And I thought that, you know, there was a girl on that was huffing. And she was huffing like that stuff that you clean with
duster. Yeah, dust off.
Dust off.
Yeah. And I thought, what the fuck is that? Like I didn't like all this stuff, it's all new to me. It's all new to me. And you know, I mean I still listen to like Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones. I don't listen to any new shit. You know what I mean? I'm totally I don't like to hear any of this new drug stuff. I don't know what those horse tranquilizers are or anything. I've never done any of that stuff because I think I was too, you know, I liked my sheltered fucked upness. You know what I mean? I did. I liked my sheltered. I did the same stuff, but I go home with different people. I change of wardrobe for every goddamn night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Places, and it was the same stuff, and I give blowjobs in the same corner or the same alley, and I, you know, put on the same tunes, and it was all good with me. You know what I mean? It was good, and I was watching the other night. I was watching. There's a special two parter on Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All those guys in the 70s and you know, like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and, you know, Jackson Brown and the Eagles. And I grew up with all that shit. And I grew up on Sunset. We lived on a house on Fairfax and Selma. And I grew up in the 70s on Sunset Strip. And the Starwood was there and Gazzari's and all Fong's. And, you know, so I'm watching this and I was thinking, first of all, I keep thinking, man, I would have totally died. Because I would have been a fucking fun groupie. You know what I mean? Like when you watch all that stuff about Woodstock, boy, mm-hmm. would I have died, you know? But it would have been fun, you know? and I love that history stuff of drugs. I do. I love that stuff. But now it's like, now it's totally different. I don't even think I could ever go back to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Yeah, research fucking chemicals and fucking, I mean, fentanyl. It's crazy, you know?
I keep thinking like I was talking to Jason today and I was like, you know, we really did work in the production business during the heyday when you could spend petty cash at North Face and keep the jacket, you know, or keep the ski pants.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And nobody questioned you, you know? You could get away with murder, you know, and you'd be partying at work waiting for Tony Scott to come in for a meeting. And it was supposed to be at 9 a.m, but it's 10 o'clock at night. And we started opening the wine at 7 and we're already loaded. And we're just going to stay there and party and wait for all this. And then get up and get on a plane, get on a jet to go to like Telluride and shoot these fucking cowboys and horses. You know, that's how it was. And it's like today, it's like
now you're shooting. You're doing social video pickups like day half, and people are booking half days.
You know,
hey, what's a half day?
Not everybody's singing half, and you know, people are scared to spend money. And I'm just gonna say, I know that started a lot with you know who in the White House. But that started the downtrend, I think, of advertising also. So
sure. People are spending money because people are afraid to spend money because, you know, some nerd who sells socks and books is worth whatever, $100 billion or whatever the hell he's worth.
Well, you know what's also scary? I also don't like seeing how nowadays, you know, the people that are the creative directors or the copywriters or the ad agency people, they were all born, you know, when, you know, they were all born in the 90s or something. They're all like millennials. I'm sorry, Charlie, you a millennial?
I'm a fucking millennial too.
Yeah. Danny's more millennial than me.
Technically, yeah.
I'm like pushing Gen Z. I'm pushing Gen Z.
What?
I was born in 93.
Okay. Danny?
85.
Okay. Keith?
69.
65.
I had already been to prison before Charlie was born, and I'd already been to juvenile hall before Danny was born.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to hop off, guys, but Susanna, it's so nice meeting you. Later, guys.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Danny.
Thanks, honey.
All right, brother.
Later.
Hey, Danny.
But anyway, yeah, I, you know, and what you were saying about how, you know, you're sitting in your house about how you're kind of trying to recreate yourself.
Yeah.
And I do see the good part of it is, you know what? we all have to treat each other a lot nicer. And what I'm seeing also is that life is way too short.
Yeah.
You know, I did a virtual funeral yesterday, and I thought it was terribly sad because people should be showing up for that in person.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go and hug anybody. And I miss that. I miss that human touch, you know. I also miss the big cock and the nakedness, but on that one side, I really do miss, you know, we've been busting our asses for so long, and this is kind of our little slowdown area. And mm-hmm. I kind of think that it's kind of time that we need to kind of start thinking about each other a little bit more and making an effort. And
yeah, change is always, it's an ever thing, right? There is no not change. And this is definitely, oh, what's going on?
I don't know, you're echoing. Echo.
This is definitely a period of, there's a period of change. I mean, industry level. I mean, I guess the one thing that is sort of in some way comforting when you had mentioned, you know, it versus 9/11, there was as much as we're all separate, I don't feel lonely, and I feel like more than ever, I could reach out to any of my friends, you know, that I could call Keith or Zoom Keith or Charlie at any time. Right. Or, you know, and other friends, you know, and just be like, hey, I need to chat. I need to talk to you about, you know, I'm over here. I'm going stir crazy. And everybody's kind of on the same. There's an empathetic tenor to all this that I think is a good thing. I mean, it's making it a little bit easier, you know,
because we're all in the same boat.
Fuck yeah. That's we're the thing.
We're in the same goddamn boat, and it's a
much. I mean, know, maybe we're not in the same boat exactly as like Tom Cruise, but barring him, you know what I mean. Barring like him and Warren, but like we're all in the same. We're all going through the same shit.
Rowboat.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
But you know, it's making it's. You know, I'm grateful. I'll tell you that because. This is one of those very scary times when you just don't know also. And I'm one of those people, I like to have a schedule, and not having a schedule during this whole thing really messes me up in my head. So I have to think of other things to do. And I reach out a lot to people that I haven't talked to in a long time. And that's also pretty cool. So yeah. I feel like I'm kind of getting caught up. I feel like I'm getting caught up on stuff that I haven't had time to do because I feel like I'm getting caught up on stuff that I haven't had time to do because I've been so involved in work, life, full blown, you know?
Yeah.
But, I really do miss the human touch. I'll tell you that. I really do. I don't know if I'm going to have this bump thing and all that kind of stuff. I really, shaking hands. I was a big fan of shaking hands and, you know, but,
yeah,
we'll see what happens, guys.
Keith, can you hear us? Keith? We can't hear you.
Do you have any other stories that you would like to tell that you would think, you know, are that make you laugh or make you anything? And also, can we just, I beg of you, and I apologize, Charlie, can we take it? Wow. So what's going on?
Wow.
It was an earthquake yesterday morning. Can we break for just 30 seconds while I go to the boys' room? I apologize for that.
Sure.
It's a brine. I have the bladder of a brine shrimp in my old age. Excuse me.
Do whatever you have to do.
Keith, did you reload the page?
Can you hear me? I can't hear you guys.
Why does he look like a priest?
I can't hear Susanna at all.
Keith?
Try and reload your Zencaster, Keith.
How do I reload it? Just just click that thing at the top, Charlie?
Keith, are you okay?
Oh, there you go.
Lupe.
Are you good, Keith? I don't know what else I have to share.
Oh, now I can hear everybody. We can wrap it up. I think we're good, right, Charlie?
I think we're good. Charlie, we good?
I can't hear Charlie now.
That's my bad. Oh. Are there any stories that you know Susanna has that she didn't tell? Or?
No, he definitely wanted me to tell the Chin Chin one.
Anything else you can think of?
No. I just rattled. I just rambled. I'm sorry.
No, you did a great job.
That was awesome.
Okay.
All right, we can wrap it up.
Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, you guys. You guys really rock.
It was awesome. Thank you.
All right, sweetie. Take care, you guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of It's All Bad. Like and subscribe and check out our merch. We've got new merch on the Patreon page. T-shirts and we're excited about it. So spread the love, and as always, we appreciate you and thank you for listening. Anything else, Keith, you think?
No, that's it. See you guys soon.
See you soon.
Support Cafe de Leche.
Oh yeah, support Cafe de Leche. Great coffee.
Nice people, great coffee. All right, thanks.